This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz and this is another episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. Today the topic is about writing and the title of this talk is Help, My Child Wants to Write. And the reason I use the word help in here is because I had a daughter who really, really wanted to write. And I struggled with the fact that I was taken up with some of the things that I'm going to share with you today are not as important as you think they may be when it comes to writing and publishing. So today I want to encourage those of you who have children who want to write to do one of three things. And the first is to give your children some tools in order to succeed. The second is to give them one of the most valuable resources that you can. And the third is to give them some additional tools to help them as well as yourself with the task of having children who are successful at writing. So the first thing I want to tell you and discuss is about exactly what it means to be successful. Some people want to see their work published just for the sake of publishing, and that is just fine. Others will say, well, they're not successful unless they've sold this many books or have a traditional publisher, okay? So we have to look at those terms and define them so that you can see where you fit in. And for me, I consider something that is successful as an accomplishment, something that your child has done, or if you're the one who's considering writing, that you've completed and that you're satisfied and happy with. You know, we can both take out a best-selling book and say, oh, I thought, you know, this book was the most fabulous book ever, and then talk to the next person and they'll say it's a horrible book and it could be a New York Times bestseller. So that in and of itself doesn't mean that the book is not successful in terms of what the world considers success, but you know, for you and your personal opinion, it may not wash. So that's what I want you to keep in the back of your mind. And I want to share with you a story that really comes, you know, from the heart. And one of my children really wanted to write and pretty much hounded me with the fact that, you know, they wanted to write a fiction. And so I mentioned it earlier, it was my daughter. And so, you know, I was overcome with the thoughts of, well, you know, the spelling is not where it needs to be, and the sentence structure is not where it needs to be. And it was my, you know, homeschooled teacher mentality, as well as my training as an educator, that I had to overcome. And I finally said to my daughter, look, here's a word processor on the computer, and you can start writing your story. Well, every day she worked diligently and was so excited and hurried to get her schoolwork done so she could work on her book. When I finally had her printed out, I was shocked because it was 80 pages of dialogue. And in this dialogue, she did everything. So she, you know, they were walking upstairs and she would say, well, let's go upstairs. And the next character goes, yes, we're climbing the stairs. And the other character would go, well, now we've gotten to the top of the stairs. And the next character goes, well, we're at the landing now and I see an open door. So obviously my daughter needs some help with some transitions and ways to get the characters upstairs without talking their way up the stairs. And so I found, you know, and I felt so bad because there was a lot of pages here that she had poured her heart into. And so I found that, you know, allowing her to just keep busy and do what she wanted to do without some supervision really wasn't going to work. So I needed to give her some parameters. And so we backed way off and we did a few things. And one was we had a brainstorming session and we discussed what she could write. And then the second session was, you know, mapping out some things that would be in her book. And the third session was characterization and working on that. So we were able to, you know, do some things and set some things in place so that she could be successful in this endeavor. And I wasn't worried about spelling or sentence structure because that was something that we could work on together. And this became a really big project, and it went on to become the Truth Seekers Mystery Series, a three-novel set that my daughter and I co-authored and I published through Media Angels. So for those of you that are not familiar with my publishing company, you can visit mediaangels.com and click on the About page and you can find out more about me. And for those of you who have listened to Vintage Homeschool Moms, you'll also know that I am the creator of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. So with all of these things that I'm going to be giving you today, there are some great resources that I'll mention near the end of the program, and also want to encourage you to join our mailing list because we have all kinds of great offers, you know, and currently there's a special offer on the bundle, and I have a several books and a video that talk about writing and publishing. But as I was saying, the first thing I want to do is to help your child succeed, and that is to encourage your child, even if they're struggling academically, even if they are struggling with their reading. The idea of writing a book can be done in so many different ways. My little kids used to dictate to me, and I would encourage them to tell me a story, and I would tell them stories, and my mother was a great storyteller. And if your child can articulate their ideas, you know, and they're great talkers, we have those children that just will not be quiet, you know, and they love to tell stories. That is, you know, something that you can use, you know, to the benefit of that child in order to have them work on their ideas. And I've also found that the quiet and introspective child are the ones who often have the great insight, and those may be your poetry or songwriters. So don't discount a child just because they're not, you know, overly verbose, but also the quiet ones, you know, often have a lot to offer. So if your child wants to write and they're really serious about writing something, and you want, you know, to give them that space and to encourage them, the most valuable resource you can give them is time. I spoke to a child at a homeschool convention one year, and she told me that she loved writing. And I said, "That's so exciting. You know, what have you written?" And she goes, "Oh, no, my mom won't let me write." And I said, "You know, what do you mean?" And, you know, having been a teacher, I know kids can say the darndest things. And I think there used to be a show a long time ago about that. And so, you know, I take these things with a grain of salt. And I said, "You know, well, where is your mom?" And the dad was nearby, and he said, "Well, you know, they've kind of gone head to head in some things, and you know, she needs to get her schoolwork done and her chores done before she can have time to write." And so, you know, the mom came over and she was ready to go, you know, listen to another talk or do something, and she was in a hurry and really wasn't encouraged to stop by and you know, talk to me about this. And so I said, "You know, so your daughter likes to write?" And she just kind of, you know, huffed and said, "Well, she does, but she's not getting her other schoolwork done because all she does is try to sneak away and write her stories. And then she's got to do her chores and, you know, on and on." And so I said to the little girl, I go, "Wow," I said, "so, you know, your mom would give you some time to write, but you've got to get some of your other stuff done." And I said, "Well, I bet you can make a deal with your mom, and you can tell your mom that you will get your schoolwork done and you will do your chores, and I bet she'll give you time to write. Isn't that true, Mom?" Kind of put Mom in a little bit of an awkward position there. But, you know, the mother said, "Well, of course I would." And the little girl's face just lit up. And, you know, hopefully they went on to, you know, purchase one of my books that I have, and I'll mention to you in just a little bit. But, you know, that is something that is important, is that you give your child time. And if you have a child who really wants to write, you know, and I'm not talking about the reluctant writer here. I'm talking about the one
who, just like this little girl, wanted to sneak off, not do, you know, other subjects because she had this story in her head that she just had to write. You know, those are the children that you can turn, you know, to good. And not this little girl was bad, but just that you could say to them, look, you've got to get these things done first, and then you can work on your writing. And I know for my daughter, she woke up in the morning, didn't even come downstairs and get a drink or anything. You know, she might have had water in her room. And the first subject she got done with was math, because that was the most difficult for her. So once she got done with her math and then could come down and have breakfast, you know, and then we did our Bible and all of our other group stuff a little later on in the morning, it at least cleared her mind so that after lunch, she knew that was going to be her time to write. So however you set that up for your family or your child, you know, and however that can work for your family, that's really important. And that is the most valuable resource. You know, I've talked to moms and dads who have been to some of the sessions I have done, and I've done longer seminars on writing and publishing. And they've said to me, you know, well, you've written all these books and I can't even eke out time to write one. And this is what I would say to you, and this applies to the kids as well. Look at your day, and I know, you know, people who have been on a diet, sometimes you're asked to chart what you've eaten that day. Well, I'm going to ask you to do that for a week, but not with what you've eaten, but where your time is spent. So have you spent time online? Have you spent time on Facebook? Have you spent time doing all the laundry because you haven't taught your kids to sort their clothes and to help you? Are you spending time, you know, making these, you know, meals, like let's just say lasagna, which is one of my favorite meals, and you're only making one instead of five like I do, and freeze four and have one for supper? So look at how you're spending your day and look at ways that you can compact your workload, work smart, not harder, and get that time that you would like to spend, you know, maybe an hour before dinner, or maybe right after lunch when the kids are napping, or maybe like the gentleman that I knew that wrote an adventure series who got up at 5 in the morning, and his time to work was from 5 o'clock to 6:30 because he had to be at work, you know, and then I think at 7, at 6:30 he did Bible with his kids at home, and then he went to work after that. So there is a way that it can happen, but you may have to give up something else. You may have to give up some sleep. You may have to give up some social media. You may have to give up, you know, making one meal from scratch, you know, a week. Whatever it is, if you want to make the time to write, you can. And once you analyze that week of how you've spent your time, you will be surprised and you will find those pockets of time. I need some, you know, just time away, whether it's in my room or with a notepad, or I've been known to stand up in the middle of a store. One time I was at Sports Authority and I had one child in the bathroom, so I was standing where I could see the bathroom, and the other boys were at the sports section, so, you know, it wasn't a busy time of the day, obviously, and I was standing kind of in the aisle where I could see the bathroom and I could see the boys. This is when they were a lot younger, and this inspiration came to me, and I had to pull out some paper from my purse and write it down. So whether you're like me where you get this idea, you know, in the middle of shopping and you want to write it down, and now with smartphones, you know, you can message yourself or send yourself a note, or you're, you know, in the kitchen getting ready to make dinner and an inspiration strikes. I know a friend who, you know, while the pasta was, water was boiling, could sit and write some lines. I'm not quite that good to be able to do that with, you know, hustle and bustle around. But that was her time. She could tune things out and just work for that 10 minutes, or, you know, catch time whenever, even just to jot down ideas or to read back over and to edit her work. So, you know, those are just some ways to become creative. And with your children, remember to give them time. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about some valuable resources for writing and publishing. And the first is for kids who would like to write fiction. And I know there's all kinds of great things out there. You know, there's a curriculum that you can take an entire year to write a novel or, you know, a story. And I have a book that I think is fabulous. It's a fraction of the cost. It retails for $18.95. And like I said, if you subscribe to our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network email list or even the Media Angels email list at mediaangels.com, often we have great incentives to purchase, whether it's a coupon offer or, you know, just the books are on sale without even needing a coupon offer. But this is one of the books that I absolutely love. And it's written by an author who has many books herself and is published by Kriegel Publishing, and that is Susan K. Marlowe. And the book is Reach for the Stars, Let Your Imagination Soar. It's the young author's fiction workbook. And, you know, for those who would say, well, I don't really like the idea of workbooks, I would say you have never seen a workbook like this, because it is not only designed to be a keepsake where your children can work through the beginnings of a story, it is not meant for you to write the story within the pages of the workbook. But this workbook is like a brainstorming workbook. And once you have this plan, then you can go on and you can write as many stories as you want. And just some of the ideas of what it contains, and is the first is a note to the parents, and the second is talks about ideas, and the third thing is one of the most important things, and that is, who is this book for? When you look at a story, you have to look at your audience. If I'm going to stand up and talk to an audience, and let's say I'm going to talk about to kids who want to do a science fair project, I'm going to talk to them instead of their parents. I'm going to say to them, okay, give me some ideas of what you think would make a great science fair project. And I'm going to say, start with something that you're interested in. You know, you might be interested in butterflies. You might be interested in birds. You might be interested in, you know, why is there mold on my bread when I leave it out for a few days, especially living in Florida? That's a big concern. You know, it might be something that you're asking a question about. And the same thing with a story. Who is it for? Are you writing for little kids? Are you writing for high schoolers? Are you writing for teenagers? Are you writing for adults? Are you writing for a group that's called tweens? So look at your audience and who is it for? Is it for girls or is it for boys or is it for both? So that's one of the questions. The second thing she writes about, well, actually, it's the fourth thing here, or the third thing, the five elements of a good fiction story. And what are those? And she lists them in her book. Another is on creating characters. And I love this. When my daughter and I wrote, we came out with about 30 questions that we answered about each character. And I came out with these with this list. And it was so cool because my daughter and I could talk about these characters and we felt like we knew them. And when you were finished reading the book, you were wondering, gosh, I wonder what Anna would think about this, or what would Christian do about this, you know, thing that happened. And because you got to know those characters so well, we knew what their favorite color was. We knew whether they liked chocolate or vanilla ice cream or didn't like ice cream. We knew the color of their eyes and their hair. We knew their mannerisms. If they're, you know, if they had something that they did, you know, that was just, you know, something that was, you know, something they, like, for example, I guess the best way is to give you an example here, but like some kids will be real fidgety when they're nervous. You know, is there something that they do that is, you know, characteristic of them? And then Susan in her book talks about show, don't tell, and she talks about feelings. So just like my daughter did in her book, she was telling you, she wasn't showing you. So in a really good book, it is shown by the setting of the scene or by the descriptions more so than by telling. And then settings and descriptions are very important. She talks about dead words, words not to use, what she calls writing cameras, and also sentence variety. And then what is the best thing about a book? When you open a book and you start reading and you can't put it down, do you know what that's called? That is called the hook. So if you have a really good hook at the beginning of your story, that is going to keep the readers continuing on, and she talks about that. Then she talks about the story glue, the ending, revising your story, and, you know, more resources for you. And so, you know, this is a great book to start your writer on. And we recommend this book for anywhere from second to eighth grade and older. I think it's a great resource. And another is one that talks more about publishing and how to get your book into print. And that is called Information in a Nutshell, Writing and Publishing. And that is a book I wrote because so many people would come to me and say, well, how did you get your books in print? Or how did you start your publishing company? Or I'm thinking about writing a book, but I really want a publisher and I don't want to do it myself. So what do I do? And it talks about all of these things and how to get started and ways to get your book into print that is really helpful. And it does it within, you know, 100-something pages. It's not hundreds and hundreds of pages that you have to wade through. And just like any author who wants to write a book, I would say, you know, look at what's out there and make your book different. Are there other books on writing and publishing? Absolutely. There are tons of books on the topic. But my book was different because I did it in a nutshell. I did it very succinctly without a lot of fluff. And I gave you really good resources and ways to get your book in print. So that's another book that's out there. And then once you are successful or you're thinking about starting a company, then I have a book in the Information in a Nutshell series that's called Business Tips and Taxes for Writers. And that book is by Carol Topp, who is a CPA. And I always tell Carol, you wrote this book just for me, because I asked her to write the book because I was interested in the business aspect, especially for people who I was helping to get published that were asking me all kinds of business questions that really is outside of my realm of expertise. When I did my started my company, I hired an attorney to set up the registered trademark, and I have a bookkeeper and a CPA. So she wrote a book that's more like a do-it-yourself and then gives you some good resources if you need to hire people to help you set things up correctly. And then I also have a DVD that is a full length that was taped at a session that I did on writing and publishing if you're interested. And all these things can be found at mediaangels.com. Well, I hope that this has given you some ideas of how to help your child to succeed in writing. Again, you know, encourage them, give them great resources like time, and give them good information on how to write their story, and keep an eye on it. Have them give you pages. You can even work with them. And my daughter and I tried to do a chapter every week. Some weeks we'd get done with more than a chapter, and other times it took us a little bit longer. And then, you know, get outside readers. When that story is done and you read the book and you think it's great, get friends and relatives to read the story. We did that with our novels. We had about 60 people read each one. And then because they have science content, I contacted three different scientists that were experts in the field that we discussed. And they also read sections of our book in order to make sure that what we had written was correct and it was authenticated. So these are just some things that you can do to get your child's book in print, to also to encourage and, you know, talk about what you can do in the future when it comes to writing and publishing. I have a blog. It is informationinanutshell.com, and you can read articles there. I think I have over 100 articles on writing and publishing, and that is, you know, information you can start using right now that would give you the tools you need to get in print. Well, thank you so much for listening. This is another episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms, and it has been brought to you by Media Angels Publishing, and that is mediaangels.com. Thanks for visiting, and I hope to see you next week for this weekly podcast. And, you know, until then, keep writing.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at mediaangels.com and thevintagehomeschoolmoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.